Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. Here is Corey Hawley in this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 17, Number 8. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was negative entropy. Entropy is a measure of the continual process of energy change and measures the degree of energy disorderedness. It is the quantity of energy unavailable for useful work in a system undergoing change. The concept of entropy in physics began as an explanation for why steam engines are not perfectly efficient. Engineers working on steam engines realized that no matter how efficient their machines were, there was always some energy lost in the process. In a biological context, the negative entropy of a living system is the entropy that it exports to keep its own entropy low. It lies at the intersection of entropy and life. So two different things, entropy and negative entropy. They're the opposite of each other. In other words, negative entropy is reverse entropy. It means things are becoming more orderly in spite of entropy, but of course only for a short time because entropy always wins out in the end. Entropy is the amount of disorder in a system. Negative entropy means that something is becoming less disordered. When we train, eat well, and take care of ourselves, we're engaged in the process of negative entropy. We are consciously opposing the premature collapse of the system we call our body. Maximum negative entropy, which is what you want to generate, must be sustained by us personally, day by day. We have to work consciously and consistently at reducing the biological effects of age-related damage. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is PSN number 43, Prevent Disease. Dietary supplements work in concert with food and exercise in multiple ways to prevent disease. In this tutorial, we'll consider their positive effects on the prevention and treatment of infection. Like washing our hands, the primary benefits of taking dietary supplements are preventive. In the same way that good hygiene prevents infection and removes much of the possibility from contamination or disease associated with microbes and bacteria, dietary supplements can also be used to enhance the powers of the immune system, to secure a stronger position in relation to the entrance and destructive powers of the enemy. The enemy in this case are not only microorganisms from nature or pathogenic bacteria, but also chemical toxins that humans created in our food supply, and literally thousands of possible contaminants that are associated with air, water, and food pollution. The likelihood of infection is always going to be greater if we're in a vulnerable state because our immune system and or entire physiological state is compromised due to an insufficient supply of both clean energy and essential vitamins and minerals. So first and foremost, we should focus on the fact that people need to be sustained and reinforced with optimum amounts of essential micronutrients, including essential amino acids, essential fatty acids, essential minerals, and essential vitamins. These are the things the body needs, and they are not open for negotiation. An excellent diet is needful, as well as movement, sport, fitness, and exercise when combined correctly, as exemplified in my equation for health, H equals NF squared. Both nutrition and fitness work together as strong allies as a natural form of medicine to keep us well. But when the diet is reinforced with a luxurious amount of carefully selected and high-quality dietary supplements, it only gets better. And baby, that's what I want. I want better and best. So the likelihood of infection, if you're on a great supplement program coupled with fitness and optimum nutrition, is going to be reduced. If we eat refined, fragmented, sterile, and processed food, it's going to weaken us from the get-go. For many, this starts at birth and continues throughout life. Adding a single vitamin or botanical remedy as a magic bullet after the fact, or any drugstore remedy, such as those sold over the counter, is not going to help us much if we have an infection. It's what we do day in and day out that makes the greatest difference, especially long term. Again, we don't want to become infected. We want to build a shield. We want to have a force field around us that's mighty. The body can definitely benefit today, as in now, from resources obtained from what we've eaten in the past, like yesterday and last week and last month, as the cells, tissues, and organs in our body are in a continual state of renewal. They're made from what you eat. Clean eating and plenty of motion builds resistance to disease, and it pays it forward. We know that vitamin A, for example, also known as the anti-infection vitamin, pumps up resistance to infection. Retinol, which is vitamin A, and only found in animal fat, improves antibody response, but heavy exercise interferes with the absorption of vitamin A. More vitamin A is needed to compensate. That's why I take more vitamin A, because I train hard and routinely. Tracy and I get about 60,000 to 100,000 units of retinol daily in halibut liver oil. Halibut liver oil provides vitamin A and D typically, as well as additional amounts of provitamin A as beta carotene in a daily glass of carrot juice, which gives us an additional 40,000 milligrams of carotenoids. So you mix the carotenoids, which is provitamin A, with actual A, preformed A, retinol, and you get the best of both worlds. We know that ascorbic acid or vitamin C also plays an important role in resisting infection. This is why Tracy and I take 10 to 15 grams a day in powder and in divided doses. We add a teaspoon to our fresh squeezed juice in the morning and to all our protein shakes, both before and after workouts. Supply your biological demand. Vitamin C is the single most important vitamin for health, but only if utilized in optimum amounts, 1 to 2 grams a day. I think of that as nothing. When vitamin C is added to cultured human skin fibroblasts, collagen synthesis increases eightfold and wound healing occurs much faster. This effect is enhanced by the addition of bioflavonoids. Dietary supplements act like natural whole food companions to enhance the overall net effect of both the food and the supplements working together as they're absorbed to sustain the cells. The body is self-healing. It's designed to look after itself, but it needs biocompatible resources from the outside world, such as fresh air, sunshine, natural whole food, and clean water. It also needs to move. It needs the vitality of movement coupled with optimum nutrition, nutrition that is genomically compatible with our individual genes. Adding dietary supplements, herbs, and botanicals from nature is simply a wise thing to do. Get on the internet and Google natural remedies for infection. You're going to see a plethora of remedies advocated from different experts and medical specialists from around the world. Here's where such variables as research, quality control, history of application, and simple common sense come to mind. There are many natural remedies clinically proven to enhance the activity of leukocytes, which are also known as white blood cells. For example, there's research from Sweden about the effects of alkyglycerols, which are found in shark liver oil. This is one of my favorites, especially when mixed with whey protein isolate, glutamine, colostrum, CoQ10, and pine bark extract. Alkyglycerols can increase the production of leukocytes and improve their directive, especially if they are abnormally low due to stress, poor nutrition, and fatigue. These are the factors that make you more prone to infection. They combat, as in these alkyglycerols and the activation of the leukocytes. This is what combats a wide variety of microorganisms and several strains of bacteria, including Staphylococcus and Streptococcus, two of the most common disease-causing bacteria. Then, of course, there are things like zinc, golden seal, garlic extract, echinacea, oregano, and lipacho tea. All these things are all classics. Lipacho, also known as tejibo or pao de arco, is a dark brown bark that you boil in water. It's very bitter, but has a great reputation for healing. Think of a bitter medicine as perhaps being one of the best. Botanical remedies that are useful for treating infection contain various alkaloids, phenols, glycosides, polysaccharides, glycoproteins, flavonoids, saponins, and terpenes. These are the biochemical substances that activate immune responses in the body. They are the raw materials, the ammunition that our cell organelles and tissues, which surround delicate organs and glands, need to war against invading infective agents and pathogens. For example, the active biochemicals in lipacho are lipachol and lipachone. Both are known as antifungal and antibacterial. Golden seal contains hydrastine and berberine. Garlic contains allicin, ajoine, and many sulfur compounds. Echinacea contains alkamides and ketoalkenes, believed to be responsible for its various immunostimulatory and anti-inflammatory activities. The primary ingredients of oregano oil are carvacrol and thymol, which provide its antiseptic, antiviral, anti-inflammatory, and natural pain relief properties. Not all infection, however, is caused exclusively by bacteria, fungus, or some type of known or unknown microorganism. The likelihood of infection is exacerbated by being constipated and retaining our own waste. Over time, without efficient and daily removal of body waste, the body becomes a walking cesspool. And in this state, anaerobic bacteria, normally dormant or inactive, can breed and proliferate at an alarming rate. It can completely distort your microbiome, and this microbiome is the current focus of a huge amount of research at all levels in medicine and universities. It's fascinating to learn as much as we can about that thing that lives inside of us, which of course isn't us. It's something different, but it has a massive impact on our health and state of mind. The cause of infection is definitely related to exposure. Imagine living without running water or a modern sewage system. Imagine living in a filthy slum with no toilets, sanitation, or electricity. Risk of infection definitely escalates in the absence of decent sanitation, especially when you're in an environment of lots and lots of other organisms like yourself. It was the domestication of animals beginning about 8500 BC that exposed us to many of the same infective pathogens we still fight today, including viral poxes, measles, tuberculosis, rhinoviruses, which is the common cold, and influenza. And in spite of billions spent on medical technology and drugs, washing our hands remains one of the best prophylactic measures known to science. But the ecology we create within our own body through lifestyle has always been a major consideration with respect to our susceptibility to infection, and unfortunately, it is typically overlooked. In conventional allopathic medicine, it is not even considered. Chronic infection is becoming more common today. Overuse of antibiotics, consuming devitalized food as a staple, and physically moving the body as little as possible are most likely the strongest contributing multiple causes. Add to that poor hygiene, chronic sleep deprivation, obesity, alcohol and tobacco consumption, and any others you can think of, and there's your formula for infection right there. Do yourself a favor. Eat clean, whole, real food. Take vitamins. And train hard to reach a state of great athletic condition, no matter what your age. The pathogens of this world will hate you for it. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Jacob Bronowski, Polish-born British mathematician, historian of science, theater author, poet, and inventor. No science is immune to the infection of politics and the corruption of power.